other folks from coast to coast. He was a big time operator, seems like yesterday to me, back in Nashville, Tennessee. He used to run the elevator.
Here's to Roger Miller, the Kansas City star. He made a million strumming his guitar, picking and a grinning, sitting on a stool. Here's to Roger Miller, the crazy and the cool.
Every song he ever writ soon became a record hit. Showbiz was tough, but he was tougher. When old Rog would vocalize, he would always close his eyes. He couldn't stand to see him suffer.
Here's to Roger Miller, the Kansas City star. He made a million strumming his guitar, picking and a grinning, sitting on a stool. Here's to Roger Miller, the crazy and the cool.
Andy Williams, all the rest, had a Roger as a guest. He even won himself a Grammy, but he soon found out, I guess, money can't buy happiness. He gave it all to Uncle Sammy. To the network he did go, starring in a TV show. We thought he'd be a big sensation, but old Roger's up the creek after only 13 weeks. They handed him a cancellation.
Here's to Roger Miller, the Kansas City star. He made a million strumming his guitar, picking and a grin, sitting on a stool. Here's to Roger Miller, the crazy and the
six. Bacon and eggs to fix for kids from 1 to 4. Pretty soon there'll be one more. I got old floors to wax and scrub, and there's a dirty old ring in the tub. I'll get a maid someday, but till then I'm the queen of the house. No time to fix my hair, need a new dress to wear. Old clothes will have to do, 'cause the kids all need new shoes. I got bridge club each Tuesday night. He goes out with the boys and gets tired, but when the evening's through, he comes home to queen of the house. I know the milkman, the ice man, they come every day. They give me tips on the horses to play, and when I've got the time to spare, I sit and wish that I'd picked a rich millionaire. Sing up every day at six, bacon and eggs to fix for kids from 1 to 4. Soon there'll be one more, but some days I'm mighty glad we send the kids to his mom and dad. It's the day that makes me glad I'm queen of the house. Up every day at six, bacon and eggs to fix for kids from 1 to 4. Pretty soon there'll be one more, but some days I'm mighty glad we send the kids to his mom and dad. It's the day that makes me glad I'm queen of the house. Up every day at six, bacon and eggs to fix.
field. I picked the strawberries and handed some to you. And if the fruit doesn't suit you, I'll hand you some flowers. A strawberry field is a rose garden too. And I love it every day of my life. I love my children and I'm true to my wife. And I love you, won't you come be my friend? You may never get another chance to be insane again. So I'm able to do as I choose. So I cut paper dolls out of yesterday's news. I shop at the market, I dine at the Grand. Mama plays drums in a 20-piece band. And I love it every day of my life. I love my children. Get another chance to be the same again.
Welcome back to the Twang Trust here on CKW 95.9 FM, and it's Roger Miller Palooza time. There's another song I'd never heard before from an album that I've never seen before. Jeepers, what's this one called? Super Songs from, what, 75, I think? Yeah, or thereabouts.
Somewhere around there. It's definitely mid-70s. Interesting story about that last song, Won't You Come Be My Friend. I was living in Vancouver, and I started putting together a project of, I'm a singer-songwriter as well.
Sure.
And that's how I kind of got into this whole music thing, and so into Roger. And I started writing with Bill Dees, who wrote Oh Pretty Woman, and It's Over with Roy Orbison, like a whole bunch of huge songs. And through him, I got my hands on some unreleased Roy Orbison tracks. So I decided that I was going to start, you know, trying to find some of these unreleased songs by some of my heroes, and Roger Miller was a hero real fast. So I contacted Sony Music Publishing, and they sent me some unreleased Roger material, and that song was on there. They told me it was unreleased.
Yeah.
So I took my life savings and I went into a recording studio.
Oh, no.
And I did my version of it. And then I found out that it actually was already released. So it was kind of a waste of a life savings. Luckily for me, I didn't have much of a life savings.
Wow.
But it was still a whole lot of money and a little disappointing that... And I found this album probably 6 months after I did my version of it in the studio.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so I never did release it. But.
Wow. Well, last night I heard you do something that was apparently an unreleased thing. Last night was the book launch for your book, which I don't even think we've mentioned here properly. It's called Ain't Got No Cigarettes. Was it Memories?
Memories of Music Legend Roger Miller.
Yeah, no, the book launch was at McNally Robinson last night. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you were playing a few songs, and you played something called, what was it, Fat Bottomed Mama?
Fat Bottom Mama.
Where did that come from?
That came from a Roger Miller performance that I got through the Country Music Hall of Fame. And so I found it through there.
Yeah.
And but it's never been cut. So that's on the list of things to cut.
Yeah.
I've got about 300 songs that I'm planning on recording. It's just trying to raise the money to go in the studio. Pretty expensive.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Wow, very cool. Very cool. Before that last song, which was called what? What was that called?
Won't You Come Be My Friend.
That was that. We heard a lady by the name of Jody Miller, Mm-hmm. No relation, apparently, which is kind of odd that her name is that. But yeah, that was her big answer record to King of the Road. That was Queen of the House.
Yeah, and Miller is a real rare name, so it's kind of bizarre.
And before that, what did we hear? We heard something. The Ballad of Roger Miller by Homer and Jethro.
You gotta love those guys.
Yeah, they're a hoot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know where that comes from. That's something I stole on the internet, so.
Nice.
Yep. What else? I have a whole list of questions here. Another person who I was sort of surprised not to see in your book, because he's probably recorded more Roger Miller songs than most anybody, was George Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Did you try and get him?
I did, and he didn't seem to be too interested. Hmm. You know, you can only do so much with some of these guys, and some of them just simply don't want to talk to you.
Yeah.
But and after a while, I just kind of quit trying, because really what happened is I had, I'm signed to Great Plains Publications, and they're a fantastic publishing company. And what happened is I showed up, and I had at least 500 pages of material that was transcribed ready. Well, it wasn't necessarily ready for print. It still had to be edited. But there was 500 pages at least, and that was taken. I could have probably had 1,000 pages if I would have transcribed everything from when I talked to these guys. So it got to a point after I hit probably 125, 130, it was like, you know what, I have too many interviews. And I was actually offered a couple of publishing deals in the States, but what they wanted to do was just do the most famous people. And I think that's a mistake. I think the guys that were his musicians and the people behind the scenes, the songwriters that wrote some of these tracks, are just as important as the stars. And that's what was so great about getting signed to Great Plains Publications, because they really gave me a lot of control over what I wanted to see in the book. Hmm. So there's a whole lot more me, and me being such a fan of music from all areas and actually working in the music industry, to kind of get advice from these guys, we got to keep all that stuff in. Whereas other companies, they wanted to chop the book down to 200 pages, and here we got over 300 pages of really good stuff, great stories, I think.
Yeah, why did you go with the interview format rather than the traditional biography?
Because I'm not much of a writer. You know, I took writing in university, but, you know, who would have guessed, you know, and you know, who would have guessed I'd be writing an international bestseller? You know, I'm pretty happy because it's my best-selling book, and I've sold copies internationally, so therefore it's my best-selling book internationally.
Yeah, there you go.
It's a bestseller.
Now, it must have been a heck of a thing to transcribe all that stuff.
Well,
is there a machine that does it these days?
Oh, God, I wish. And you know what was so difficult is some of these guys had such thick accents. Like, if you've ever heard Tom Paul Glacier talk, I think it probably took 30 hours just to transcribe Tom Paul's interview, because he kind of talks a little bit. There's a little bit of mumbling going on. He's a great singer. You can make out everything he says. and Mel Tillis, that was about 40 hours of transcribing for those pages. And so
I was surprised what a gutter mouth Mel Tillis was.
Well, those guys really loved Roger, so it wasn't really hard for them to talk with regard to that. And, there was just hours and hours of transcribing. And I had to get my hand rebuilt. I was in a car accident, and so I couldn't type. So actually I got to hire some people. And luckily I conned my little baby sister, Gaby, into transcribing
about
half
the book. Well, good to keep it in the family.
Well, I told her I'd give her a free copy if she did that for me. So.
Oh, that's worth it. Yeah, absolutely. Well, hey, do you have any favorite Roger Miller cover tunes?
Of people that cut Roger Miller songs?
Yeah.
That's a really good question.
I thought I got a handful of them here. We're gonna play a few. This is my favorite personally. It's the Everly Brothers version.
Oh, nice.
Of Burma Shave.
That's a good one.
Here it comes at you on the Twang Trust, CKW 95.9 FM.
Smart, he ain't. Attention, I'll buy you tall, tall trees and all the waters in the seas, cause I'm a fool, fool, fool for you. Yes, I'm a fool for you.
It may take a while, but I prove it's true.
Well, if it's loving you want, I've got it. And if it's money you want, I'll get it. I'll buy you tall, tall trees and all the waters in the seas, cause I'm a fool, fool, fool for you. Take a trip across the ocean. Yes, we'll travel any place you take a notion. I'll buy you tall, tall trees and all the waters in the seas, cause I'm a fool, fool, fool for you. Now if you wanna own a great big mansion, yes, I'll give it my utmost attention. I'll buy you tall, tall trees and all the waters in the seas, cause I'm a fool, fool, fool for you. Yes, I'm a fool over you.
Take me time, but I'll prove it's true.
Well, if it's loving you want, well, I've got it. And if it's money you need, I'll get it. I'll buy you tall, tall trees and all the waters in the seas, cause I'm a fool, fool, fool for you.
Take me time, but I'll prove it's true.
Well, if it's loving you want, I've got it. And if it's money you need, I'll go get it. I'll buy you tall, tall trees and all the waters in the seas, cause I'm a fool, fool, fool for you.
Hi, this is Russell DeCarl from Prairie Oyster, and you're downtown and underground with the Twang Trust on CKUW 95.9 FM.
Redbird sings, I'll be blue, cause you don't want my love.
Some other time, that's what you say when I want you. Then you laugh at me, make me cry, cause you don't want my love. You don't seem to care a thing about me. Rather live without me than to have my arms around you when the nights are cold and you're so all alone. In the summertime, when all the trees and leaves are green, redbird sings out of the blue, cause you don't want my love.
rock with me, but now you don't, cause you don't want my love. Some other guy is taking up all your time, now you don't have any time for me, cause you don't want my love. You don't seem to care a thing about me, rather live without me than to have my arms around you when the nights are cold and you're so all alone. In the summertime when all the trees and leaves are green and the redbird sings out the blue, cause you don't want my love. Odelay, odelay, odelay.
Trust. That's what you're listening to. All Roger Miller, all the time here today. We have Lyle E. Style, author of a brand new book on Roger Miller, the first of its kind anywhere. Ain't Got No Cigarettes in stores now.
And online, doitwithstyle.com. So if you want to send your friend a book in Australia or anywhere on the earth, just check out my website or go to eBay.
There you go. There you go.
I'm addicted to eBay, always buying stuff on Roger Miller. On there.
Yeah, what's the coolest thing you found on there?
The coolest thing that I found of Roger Miller would be a ticket stub to a Roger Miller show that was supposed to be filmed, and it was called The King of the Road, and it was supposed to be a TV series from the producers of Maude. And,
oh, wow.
I don't know if it was actually filmed, but you know, there were so many things about Roger Miller that just kind of disappeared. Like, he was supposed, like, they would do press releases on his appearance in movies, and then the movies would never be released or his scenes would get cut. I have no idea what happened. So actually, through writing this book, there's a whole lot. There's definitely enough material for a second book to research to find out what happened in a lot of those circumstances.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Was he in any movies? Like, I know that was the thing he wanted to get into. And besides the Robin Hood cartoon, the Disney cartoon, which he did the narration for and some of the songs.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't know that that was him.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of a weird touchstone for me, because that was one of my, you know, that's one of my big memories as a kid is going to see that movie. That was one of the first cartoons I actually went to see in a theater, and I just loved it. Yeah. I had the record, and I still have the original record, which, you know, me and my little brother trashed beyond belief.
Yeah. Well, people absolutely love Roger Miller, and they don't know who he is because they remember him from the guy singing on the Disney movie.
Right.
So sometimes the connection isn't there.
Yeah. But those are great tunes, too.
They're unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was, what did we just hear? We just heard, that was an oldie, Dottie West and Don Gibson. That's like from mid-60s sometime, Lock, Stock, and Teardrops.
That's like a Christmas gift to me. Thank you for playing that.
Yeah.
That's the first time I heard it.
That's one of my favorite Roger covers, for sure. His original of that's got to be one of the very first uses of that weird voice box guitar thing, huh?
Yeah.
Like, do we have Roger Miller to blame for Peter Frampton and Bon Jovi and stuff?
I'm not going to blame that on Roger. You know, I was in Nashville, and they actually had a Roger Miller tribute that they were doing, and it was all of the kids of celebrities performing there, and it was kind of an interesting performance. Yeah. It was in probably this time of year. Actually, it was the end of October. It was like the 10 years after his passing, and they had like Pam Tillis there. AJ Croce was singing. It's actually pretty phenomenal, and Dean Miller was there. And it was pretty sad because they didn't really advertise it. And there was like maybe 50 people there at most.
Man.
But actually, Pam Tillis sang Lock, Stock, and Teardrops. And it was kind of funny because she forgot the words halfway through. And they actually stopped and had to have Mary Miller come out and tell her what the words were. But she did a phenomenal version for what she did. But yeah, they actually played quite a few rare songs. It really seems that the people that work in the industry really appreciate some of the songs that never quite made it to those greatest hit CDs.
Mm. You mentioned Dean Miller. Are you familiar with his stuff?
I'm a little bit, yeah. He's a talented guy, and they just have a big news thing on CMT.com interviewing him about a new album that's coming out. And I think that's what kind of scares me about the music industry, is there's not too many people that know who Dean Miller is, and you would think that having a father who was Roger Miller, that would open up some doors.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even the kids, like Bobby Bear's son, Bear Jr., is a real talented guy. But again, so few people have heard of his stuff. And it's a very scary industry on how you can actually, like, what does a guy have to do to get a record deal, to get on the radio?
Yeah, I know Bobby Bear Jr. is actually producing an album for his dad. It's supposed to be out next month sometime.
Oh, really? It's about time. You know, Bobby Bear is one of the coolest guys you could ever want to meet, one of the most laid-back guys, and he has an unbelievable catalog of songs. And he's just a great storyteller as well. You know, one of my favorite stories in the book was I asked Bobby Bear, who's a fisherman, if he ever went fishing with Roger Miller. And he said he never went fishing with Roger Miller because Roger would have been on speed, and speed and fishing don't mix.
Yeah.
And yeah, I guess that would drive you nuts.
Absolutely. Yeah. So. Yeah. That was a good talk with him in there for sure.
It was pretty cool because it was just I was out at his house there in Hendersonville, and he had a beautiful house, very 70s, right on the lake. And he was pretty tired in the morning, and he was like sipping a cup of coffee and chewing tobacco, and it was pretty neat. And, you know, they were talking about how they were doing press releases on how Roger Miller quit taking pills. And I thought that was really bizarre. And they had these big celebrations on taking pills, but instead of taking pills, he just turned to pot and cocaine. So, but that's when it wasn't bad for you. So it seemed like the natural thing to do. So they found out pills were bad for you, and try the other stuff.
You know, one of my favorite interviews in the book was with a guy whose name, boy, I hadn't thought of this guy in ages, but Shields from Shields and Yarnell. Like, when's the last time anybody thought of Shields and Yarnell?
Don't tell him that.
Yeah. But what's the connection there between Robert Shields and Roger Miller?
Well, Robert was being managed by Rick Marcelli, and Rick was good friends with Roger Miller, working with Roger as well. And they struck up a friendship. And I guess Roger was impressed because Robert Shields did with his body, kind of what Roger did with his voice. He was very creative. And he saw that connection there. And then there was another connection with that white powdered stuff. And so they became fast friends through that, apparently. And yeah, so they struck up a friendship, and definitely Robert's a neat guy. And one of the painful things in the book is we actually have to chop out so much of these interviews. You know, a lot of these guys I've spent quite a few hours with. Huh. And Robert was one of those guys that he had just a lot of great stories on, you know, telling me, don't ever try that stuff. So any kids out there listening, don't try that white powdered stuff, because it really is the closest thing to doing satanic worship, according to Robert Shields. So I wouldn't take any chances.
No. You mentioned Rick Marcelli. That was another good one in the book there.
That's my favorite one, I think.
Yeah.
Because it was just so honest, and I think it was really worded quite well.
Although I'm wondering, how true do you think that Bob Dylan story is?
I think it's very true.
Yeah?
I don't know why you would make something up like that up. And just for the people listening, I guess I can explain that a little bit, that Bob Dylan was in the crowd one night while Roger Miller was performing. And one of the people said to Roger, Bob Dylan would like to come up and do a song with you. And so Bob Dylan didn't just come up himself. He came with his whole band, and they started singing a song. And Roger thought he was going to be singing along, but Bob Dylan never made eye contact with Roger Miller again. And he just did the whole show, and Roger just left the stage. And he went home. He was a little upset.
That's a great story. I mean, if it's not true, it should be.
Yeah. You know what? I was trying to get in touch with Bob Dylan, but I didn't have any luck. He's a tough one to get through.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know that.
Actually, one of the guys, Billy Burnett, was playing guitar for Bob Dylan,
right.
But I couldn't get in touch with Billy after that. So I didn't get to hear Bob's version. Maybe for the follow-up book, Bob will chat with me.
Hey, that would be nice. That'd be nice. Another one of my favorite stories. Maybe my favorite story in the whole book was the one about the record store signing with Buck Owens.
Oh, yeah. Buck Owens had a ton of great stories in there.
Yeah, he seemed like to be the most fun guy in the whole book.
He's a very cool guy, yeah, for sure.
Now, I know you're a huge Johnny Cash fan too, right?
Yes. I got to meet Johnny Cash in 96, and it totally changed my life. It was a surreal experience. I'll never forget. We were standing out by his bus, and I never even thought Johnny would be on this tour bus. I was pretty naive, still pretty new to the music industry, I guess. And there was the silhouette of Johnny Cash in the window. And I said to my friend Curtis, and I said, is that Johnny there? And he goes, I don't know. And he was kind of, and then Johnny looked out the window, and we just saw this silhouette, and he waved at us. And we waved back, and then he goes like this, and he waved us on the bus.
Oh, man.
And I just kind of blanked out. I got pictures to prove it. LyleEstyle.com to prove it. But
was that
it was
here?
Just, no, that was in Grand Forks, out of all places. So, you know, there's, you know, I hear all the time these people that say, oh, I was going to go see Elvis Presley in concert in Minneapolis, or he was playing in Minnesota someplace, and I didn't go, and I've always regretted it. And I think that's the thing, like, you know, Don Williams is in town tomorrow. Don Williams is just a huge talent. Like, if you've never seen this guy, you should really go check out these guys while they're still out there.
Absolutely,
you know, George Jones and stuff. Like, to be able to see Johnny Cash in concert, or Waylon Jennings, Willie Nelson, just absolute blessings that they're still out there. You know, because you would think they still don't have to be out there, but they're still doing it for the fans. And so it's definitely worth the trip, you know, to drive to Grand Forks, because sometimes there's shows out there. It's a bit of a hassle for guys to get over the border. I was actually really surprised that Willie Nelson actually made it over the border this last time.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But now, back to Johnny Cash for a second. Did Johnny Cash ever record a Roger Miller song?
Other than his version of Home on the Johnny Cash Show, I've never heard anything.
Wow. It's kind of surprising, you know, all the things he did.
Yeah.
It would have been something in there.
And he did that I'm a Nut album.
Right,
I don't know if you've heard that one.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of crazy songs, but I guess Shel Silverstein kind of got most of his tracks cut by Johnny on that album.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, one of my big regrets with Johnny Cash, I didn't see, there's somebody else I never really got into until, you know, fairly recently. And I actually had the opportunity to go see Johnny Cash at the Playhouse Theater here. And I was working at a silkscreen shop. And somehow or other, we got the gig to do the merchandise for, like, the Canadian tour.
Oh, wow.
And So I'm here, you know, I'm doing up the artwork for this stuff, and says, oh, yeah, do you want some tickets to the show? I says, nah, I don't care. And then I wouldn't say I met him, but he walked past me in an airport once.
Oh, really?
I went to pick up my wife, who's from North Carolina, and she was coming in from a trip home, and standing around waiting for her, and then all of a sudden, there goes Johnny Cash walking past me. And he was on the same flight as she was. I think he was playing the Red River X or something that year.
Wow.
He was coming in for it, and I said, you were on the plane with Johnny Cash? She had no idea.
You know what? Johnny Cash is going to be made a saint someday because he changed so many people's lives, and he also had a presence about him that was unbelievable.
Yeah.
I've never met, I met a lot of people, and I've never met anyone that had that aura like Johnny Cash had. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
It was such a presence. It was like, you know, it was really kind of like a holy moment in my life, just meeting someone like this. And, you know, he was in there tight with Billy Graham, people from all eras of music, all eras of life around the world. There was something about Johnny Cash that he was just something else. So.
Yeah, well, he's one of the great icons of humanity, really. Forget about music. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's unbelievable that for so many years, he was just sort of looked over, and, you know, God bless Rick Rubin for getting him back in the studio.
Yeah, yeah. This is going way off the Roger Miller topic, but do you know when the next, there's supposed to be another Rick Rubin record coming out.
Yeah.
Have you heard when that's happening? Is it around the movie? Or
it's going to be, I imagine it would be in October.
Yeah.
From what if I recall correctly, it was supposed to be October, I guess, around the movie time.
Hmm.
So, unfortunately, those albums, they're a little too underproduced, some of them, I find, you know, personally.
Yeah.
Like, and his, unfortunately, he was losing his voice a little bit.
Mm.
But, you know, we got to learn that someone should be doing that with, you know, if I had the money, I would open up a recording studio in Nashville and say, you know what, Bobby Bear, get down here every day and record stuff.
Mm.
You know, don't go on the road or anything, just stick in the studio and just capture that voice. Or Merle Haggard. Merle Haggard has never sounded better in his life than he does right now. And he's out there performing all the time. And the sad thing is, like, it's great that he's performing with Bob Dylan and he's actually opening up with the Rolling Stones this next tour.
Wow.
But he's only performing, you know, 40-minute sets of just the greatest hits. And he has so much more to offer. I really think that they should get him in the studio and just start capturing, you know, this magic while it's still here.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's a shame that that Roger passed away as early as he did, because I think if he was still around now, there would be a similar kind of resurgence with him, you know, because he's just, and, you know, we were talking a little earlier, and we'll get into guys like Harlan Howard and Mickey Newberry.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these guys are really sort of starting to be appreciated as songwriters, too, and I think more so than Roger Miller. And I think Roger Miller is, like, beyond those guys, I mean, as good as they are.
Yeah.
But he really doesn't get the due as a songwriter. And you got to wonder why.
I really don't know if people just didn't take him seriously, and that's the reason why. Because as far as I'm concerned, Roger Miller was the most talented guy in the history of entertainment.
Yeah.
There's no one that comes close that I've met. Maybe Waylon Jennings, but I think Roger Miller was so experimental and just all over the place and just had so much to offer the world, but I guess the world wasn't ready for him.
Yeah, there's not even a Roger Miller tribute album, for Pete's sake. I mean, there's tribute albums to, you know, the guy you pass walking down the street, for Pete's sake.
Yeah,
and nobody's done a Roger Miller album yet.
Maybe that'll be my next project.
It should be. Yeah. It should be, absolutely.
I would love to do a series of, you know, style picks, you know, releasing my favorite Roger Miller songs, or eventually recording my version some of these tracks, because there's so many amazing songs that just haven't been delved into. So that's why it's great to be here with you today, Stu, because we get to play some of these amazing songs.
Yeah, well, it's been a hoot. We need to play more Roger. I'm going to play one more cover now, though, right now. This is a bit of a rarity. This is actually a live version. Recorded in Minneapolis about, 6 years ago or so. Golden Smog, sort of a Minneapolis supergroup featuring guys from the Jayhawks and Soul Asylum and all like that there. This is, I'm not sure who this is. This may be Jeff Tweedy from Wilco singing this.
Oh,
I'm not sure who it is.
Nice.
But it's a version of Reincarnation.
Oh, sweet.
Golden Smog, live in Minneapolis.